Okay, so now here we go. How many of you have come out of your Christmas food coma? Thank you, Javi. I have just emerged out of a Christmas food coma. It started back around Christmas Eve, and then it followed me into Christmas, and about 2 days later, I'm just going to be honest with you, I was like, coma is the right word. I have slept and tried to sleep and woke up and slept again. Now, for those of you who don't know Jeanette well, Jeanette can pretty much sleep at the dime, you know, drop of a hat. Yeah, exactly. Boom. So I had dropped Joshua off somewhere. She was awake. I came back 10 minutes later. She was gone. I left an hour later. She was up. I came back an hour later. She was gone. She had taken like 5 naps, and then she actually slept. So we had the food coma. So I hope you're all getting out of the food coma mode. And I need to share with you a little story that actually happened this Christmas that's going to make our sermon make all the sense in the world today, which we're talking about being prepared, repaired, and made usable. So this past Christmas weekend, I had something happen that is almost like irony of all ironies. But I need to start with a show of hands. How many of you have bought a working appliance or something of value that you use every day a long time ago, but it's still in service right now? Okay, so for me and Jeanette, now it could have been, you know, like a refrigerator, it could be your car, it could be a toaster. For Jeanette and I, we have this appliance. It's a vacuum cleaner. Okay? Now, I got to give you a little story about this vacuum cleaner, though, because it's going to really kind of hit home, and you're going to appreciate it because of those of us who have been dirt poor in life or may still be on dirt poor road, you appreciate everything that you get and you've bought and you've worked for, and you kind of baby it. You kind of get some pride in that thing, right? And so when Jeanette and I were first married, we lived in this little apartment in New England, and then for a couple years we lived with my parents. And then we finally kind of got our own place. And it was a church parsonage. And we were in the first floor of this 3-family house. And when we moved in there, it needed some renovation. And so we pulled up the carpet to see that it had these old hardwood floors. Really kind of character hardwood floors. So we had them sanded down and refinished. And it really looked nice at the end of the day. So Jeanette sends me on this task. Go get a vacuum cleaner. Can't just get any vacuum cleaner, right? It's your brand new hardwood floors. You don't want to scratch them up. So I go on this quest. Now, leading up to this vacuum cleaner, we have had hand-me-downs that literally lasted a few months and burnout. Maybe 6 months and burnout. When we lived with my parents, I used theirs. So now I'm buying our first real kind of appliance. I consider this a big purchase. So I go and I start looking and I look around. And I finally come to this mom-and-pop shop, and the gentleman there sells me a vacuum cleaner. And the pronunciation may be different, so let's just all agree on it right now. The brand is M-I-E-L-E. Miley or Mealy? How do you want to pronounce it? Because I'm going to use it several times in today's teaching.
Miley.
Miley. Okay, thank you. Miley it is. So I come home with a Miley vacuum cleaner. And I am proud to say, 11 years later, it is working great. It is fantastic. It can do it all, okay? It's been fantastic. Until Christmas Day. You got it. Christmas Day, I'm out here running Mr. Miley on the floor. All of our guests, my family came over for Christmas dinner. All of our guests are leaving, and so I pull Mr. Miley out, and we're getting ready to do the floors, right? We're going. And all of a sudden, I smell this burning odor. I turn around and Mr. Miley stops. Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about being prepared, repaired, and made usable, I talked about that Christmas gift, that aircraft carrier that my brother Don put together for me. Guess who was in the house when Mr. Miley stopped working? My brother Don. And so I was like, Donnie, help! Yeah, and so he looks at it, and he sees the cord, and he looks at the inside, and after basically a snip, a cut, and a few little things, we realized that the plug had actually broke. The vacuum cleaner worked fine. The plug broke. So he goes and he gets a little snip, a solder, some shrink tape, and an old power cord from an old PC. And before you know it, Mr. Miley is back in action. And he is working great again. Now, what I thought was funny about the whole story is because we're going to talk about being repaired. We've been talking about being prepared. Now we got to talk about being repaired. And I'm sure if you kind of look back into your own life right now, you kind of got one of those stories. A car, a fridge, a vacuum cleaner, a toaster, something that you've jury-rigged. And we're sitting here at the last Sunday of 2014. There will not ever be another Sunday in 2014. And I think it's kind of remarkable that we're talking about getting fixed because we're getting ready to go into a new year. And I think there's a lingering question I asked two weeks ago, and that lingering question is, what is the legacy of God? Think about that just for a second, and I'm still putting it on the shelf to kind of jog our memory. I don't care if you're a believer in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. Everyone wants to be a part of a legacy or wants to pass down a legacy. So how is that in us? How did that just kind of become part of everyone who we are? It got me thinking about this question, which I'm telling you up front, I don't have the answer for right now. I'm still working through this. But I'm asking myself the question, if we've been designed and built in His image, created in His image, and we all have the desire to be a part of a legacy or to pass down a legacy, then perhaps God has a legacy. So it's got me thinking about this question, what is the legacy of God? But here's the other question I want us to look at for today's message. You, me, and all of us are like that wonderful new appliance. We roll off the showroom floor, and man, we have such promise. There's expectation that we will do everything advertised. There is hope that whatever we've been called to do, we will do it. We will never fail. And most of all, there's a trust factor that people have with us that we will never break down. We will always keep going. But no sooner do we get off the showroom floor, we drive our car through potholes, through mud. We get into the situation where the refrigerator is not working like it used to. The vacuum cleaner is not actually doing what it used to do. And what really we're talking about is the seals around the refrigerator door, it wears out. The compressor quits. The car, you put the key in the ignition, the lights go on, you go to crank it over, and it does the vroom, vroom, vroom. What happened? We broke down. We broke down. And breakdowns can be judged by varying degrees. We can be breaking down, and then we can just one day flat out just break down. Here we go. Ready? It is scripturally, it is sociologically, and it is societally true that we live in a fallen world, right? You look in the scripture, it tells you, you live in a fallen world. You look at society, it tells you, this is a fallen world. You look at the social issues in life and you realize people are in varying degrees of breaking down. But you're not a lemon. I don't even like the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I don't even like that saying. Because it almost tells you, like, you know what? You're a lemon. The best you can hope for is lemons. And here's what I mean by a lemon. You know, in states, I'm from Massachusetts, there's a thing called a lemon law. In other words, you go buy a car, and the car doesn't work right, and it's a used car, and it doesn't work right, you're protected as a consumer from a shady deal. That's why when you go buy an appliance and you open up the box, it says limited or lifetime warranty. Why? If it doesn't work the way it's advertised, you get a right to return it. But let me ask you this question. The reason we have lemon laws is there's a possibility that something can come off the showroom of life and not be as it was intended. That's not how you were created. You were not created in the likeness of the Father, Son, and Spirit to come off the showroom broken with no hope of repair. No matter how much you try to patch it, no matter how much you try to fix it and send it back, it can't be fixed. That's why I'm saying you're not a lemon. We live in a fallen world, But you are not a lemon that needs lemon laws to validate you. The reality is, the truth of the matter, we need to be fixed. We all need to be repaired. But what can happen when the Holy Spirit gets into our life and the work of Jesus Christ gets into our life is we become that man or woman in His likeness, and then we operate and live as we were designed to live. We live and move and have our being as we were purposed to live. Show of hands. How many people here have broken down? And we've all tried to, in the breakdown, gather the pieces. Use a little crazy glue and put it all back together. Right? But you know what happens? The cracks are still there. I was really tempted to go take a plate and break it and crazy glue it and bring it in here and then put something on there and, you know, like, but I didn't do that. But there's going to be too much of a mess after the fact. Feet and everything and glass. Okay, but you get my point, right? You put enough stress on something that's already broken, it will break again. There's a weakness there. You see, a little tape, a little glue works well for a vacuum cleaner. But a little tape and a little glue does not work well for man or woman. We need more than crazy glue and duct tape and electrical tape and an old PC cord to get us repaired. We need something far deeper. The reason you're not a lemon is because you are created in His likeness and you are given a soul that is designed by the Creator, God, Yahweh, that says, you fit perfectly with me. And that's how you get repaired, by me, with me. And if we're truthful with one another, no sooner do we come off that showroom floor and we get into that mud and we go through all life and we allow spills in the new refrigerator and we use the vacuum to suck up entire sets of Legos that we find out that things can go very wrong very quickly. What I mean to say is this. You're made in His likeness. You're made with a desire to connect to Him. But often the things that we want to connect to are the very things of this world that lead to our breakdown. Right? You're made in His likeness. You're made with a desire to connect. But what we run to connect to are the things of this world. And it's those very same things that lead to our breakdown. So let's explore this. While you come out of the womb prepared for a legacy of God, you experience a breakdown. You need repair. You need repair because you know what you're really meant to be a part of? This question I asked a little bit earlier. You're meant to be a part of a divine legacy. A divine legacy. You're meant to be part of a great narrative given to us by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we are actually purposed on this earth to fulfill a kingdom purpose. Not just to be a pastor or an accountant or a musician or anything else in this life, no matter what it is. If we invest our whole thing in this, it can lead to breakdowns. Even pastors break down, even after they're up here preaching about Jesus. When we started this series about being prepared, repaired, and made usable, we talked about John the Baptist. And how from his very birth, the angel Gabriel spoke to his father Zechariah, and he spoke to him saying, God has heard your prayer. And this is a narrative that comes to us out of Luke, but it also is a narrative that, if we're going to look in Scripture, we look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 7, because Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, tell us about John's ministry. Tell us about John the Baptist, a ministry that if we look at the timetable, we realize that his earthly ministry only came on the scene 6 months before Jesus comes on the scene and performs his earthly work. A six-month window, a lifetime of being prepared. And I think it's kind of interesting. Whenever I hear people talk about John the Baptist, they always say, you know, John the Baptist, he was kind of wild and crazy and he ate honey and he kind of wore out their clothes. But you know, none of those things are what John used to describe his ministry. Right? John didn't walk around saying, hey, look at me, I got this crazy fashion, and I got this crazy diet, and when you follow me, you follow my fashion, my diet, and do what I do. No, you realize that John's message did not provoke people to become the wild honey dieters? Right? It didn't provoke anybody to go be the loincloth wearers. John's message provoked people to get prepared and repaired for the coming of the Lord. Preparing the way of the Lord, what John spoke about. But how did John repair people? He brought them into a form of baptism unto repentance. Now, baptism is not foreign to the Jewish people. They ritually understood baptism. They understood what it was to be cleansed. They understood what it meant to be as a culture and a religious system, what it means to be in baptism. Mikvah, okay? They understood that. That's the Hebrew word, a mikvah. They understood this. But when John is speaking, it touched something else in their heart beyond what they already societally and spiritually and culturally knew. They realized this word as one speaking in the voice as one in the desert is speaking to an area of brokenness in me that is beyond just going into the pool, going for a dip and coming out and going back into life. There's something going on in here that I recognize through his words as given by the Holy Spirit that tells me I'm broken and now need to be repaired. Remember, Gabriel said to Zechariah, John's father, he will be from the very womb filled with the Holy Spirit. John's words cut to the hearts of people and where they were most broken. He wasn't trying to create a new fad. And that's why a new fad didn't get created around him. Those influenced by John's message knew they needed to be repaired, knew that their hearts needed to be fixed. And while it may be an uncomfortable expression, ready? Now, I hope you're all ready for this. It may be an uncomfortable expression from today's modern pulpit, but the entire narrative of Scripture, beginning from Genesis, through the prophets, to John, to Jesus, the apostles, and through Revelation, is a simple phrase, repent ye. The kingdom's at hand. Now, we don't talk about repentance anymore. We don't like to say that, but can I actually take some of the what we have this adverse, we've allowed the culture to make this sound so bad to us. So let me actually put this in a little bit of a different, scripturally speaking, a different context for us. If I just took this word, repent ye, repent you, me, all of us, and I took it in the actual Greek, you know what it really comes out to? Change your mind. In other words, the way you're thinking right now is leading to your breakdown. It's leading to your disrepair. The Lord wants to prepare you to be in His likeness and His fullness for a kingdom legacy and purpose, but you have some thinking in there that's leading to breakdowns. So you need to change your breakdown and get fixed by the only one who can fix you, Jesus. So change your mind. That's exactly what John was preaching. When he said repent, he was basically yelling to everyone, change your mind. But we're good Jews. We do all the right things. We live in the right neighborhoods. We act the right way. We do all the right rituals. You're all broken in your heart. Because if you weren't broken in your heart, then you wouldn't be out here in the wilderness listening to me to tell you to change your mind. The kingdom is coming. Today, we got to get in our mindset. What if we have thinking in our life right now, actions, attitudes, and processes of how we live life that are actually contributing to our breakdown, and the Lord is saying, I want to fix you, but you have to change your mind. It's one of the hardest things to do is to get someone to change their mind. Because what it really tells you is this, when you need to change your mind, it tells you that you need to be humble. You don't got it figured out. And I told you this last week when we were in our love feast. It's okay to say you don't have it figured out. There's no shame in saying, I missed the exit. I'm broken down. I have a flat tire. Use whatever expression you want to use. I need to get this fixed. Change your mind. When you change your mind, it actually turns you to a point of where you realize that you need to turn to Jesus for forgiveness. You need to turn to Jesus for repair. And I love this. You know, there's this other beautiful part of this. And maybe some of you have connected this dot. Maybe some of you haven't. When you actually say, I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to live in disrepair anymore. You know what you're actually doing? The Bible says you are running away from wrath. You're running away from the very thing that's breaking you down. When you say, I'm going to change my mind, I'm going to turn to Jesus, I'm going to give myself over to Him, I'm actually running away from the very thing that is destroying me. Now, you see, this makes so much sense to us right now. But the reality is we walk out of this room today and we get into our life tomorrow morning or this afternoon, and those attitudes and those behaviors start cranking up again, and we think, this is how I am. This is how I've always been. This is how it's always going to be for me. And I'm telling you what John said and what the Word of God said. Change your mind. Change your mind. Repent. Go back to Jesus. And when you do, you will be running from the very thing that is breaking you down. Please, I'm begging you. I am begging you. This is not a New Year's message, though it's going to sound like one. This is not a New Year's message. I'm begging you, please, do not. If you don't get one thing out of this message, do not leave here today saying, tomorrow I will change my mind. Change your mind today. Turn to Jesus today. Repent today and ask Him to get into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, and change you. Don't say, January 1st, I'll make a new one. Don't say, tomorrow I'll do it. You do not know what you have for time. You don't. You don't. I don't. Change your heart and your mind today. You can do that. You can do that. Because as we saw in Elijah, God gives you courage, strength, and answers your prayers. Don't think you can do it. You can't. You can't do it by yourself. You need God's strength to get you through it. You need God's courage to give you the strength to do it. So say this, Lord, I can't do it, but I can confess it. I can take that initial step, and I can trust you will give me the strength and the courage to walk it through. I am going to change the way I do things. I'm going to change the way I speak. I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I pray. I'm going to change the way I believe. I'm going to change the way I expect you to give me my strength and my courage. I'm not going to do it in my own strength. I'm not going to do it in my own courage. I'm not going to do it in my own power. I'm going to trust you. Okay, so now here's what we're saying. What would happen? This is going to sound real wordy, but just follow me for a second. What would happen if you ran into a person that knows you and knows who you are, and knows your story to some degree, and said, oh, you know, here you are, right? And you said to them, yes, I am a sinner, but I am no longer defined by the sin that breaks me down. Yes, I'm a sinner. Show of hands, are we there? Yes. But I am not defined by the sin that breaks me down. What do you mean by that, Joshua? What I mean is this. The muddy exterior on my car, the spills in my refrigerator, and the non-working appliance. I am not that man. I am standing before you as a man or a woman who is broken, but recognizes by the Holy Spirit I needed repair. I stand before you as a repaired sinner, full of His grace, of His mercy, and as the Hebrews uses the word in Psalm 85, His chesed. We translate it as love, but really what it is His long-suffering, His loving-kindness, His grace, and His promise to do all He said He would do and more. So when you say, I am a repaired sinner who walks in His chesed, all the promises of what God said He was going to do for me are what He said He would do and more if I'm walking with a changed mind. If I'm walking with someone who really wants to be repaired. What if we were that kind of person? You know, it made me think about this. Why is it when we walk into Home Depot or Sears or Lowe's, and you go to the back of the refrigerator section and you open up the refrigerator, you do not see food in there? You don't open it up and say, oh, look, it's the spilled coffee. oh, look, it's the jam that I didn't actually put the lid on and it spilled down. And it's been sitting there for 4 months. I know whose refrigerator I'm talking about. Or how about when you go to a used car lot? You don't go into a used car lot and open up the door and say, oh, look, McDonald's cups, and it's a bag, and it's trash, and it's wrappers, and oh, look, it's all dirty, and there's crumbs everywhere. You open it up because every car is detailed, cleaned, washed, waxed, sprayed, refrigerator's new. Why? Because they want to tell you, this is what it looks like when it comes off the line. It is perfect. It is clean. It is awesome. You want to buy this. When you buy that refrigerator, you don't think of it, boy, it's going to look so good with my food in there. You think of it, look how clean that fridge is. You open the door and those LED lights are like a spaceship. They go, you're like, yes, it's the Enterprise. I'm on the bridge. But it's really just a fridge air refrigerator. But you think how cool it is. But it gets dirty. Your car gets dirty. You got stuff in the floorboards, the bed of your truck, whatever it is. You know, and then you go and you detail it, but you want it to be like, oh, it's clean again. You can't keep it clean. It's hard, right? You see, this is what religion does to us. Can I, for a second. Religion has all of the trappings of the new car because it looks on the outside like it's perfect, but it still has all the spills and the stains on the inside, and they're not cleaning it. And that's what turns people off. The hypocrisy, the phoniness, and the deeds without creeds, or the creeds without deeds. But a repaired relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit is the person that has a ding, a dent, and a nick. But when they open the car, or they open up who you are, they see you are someone who is walking clean in the Spirit, walking according to His way, walking in His will, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. They look at the exterior and they say, man, you got a little nick here. Boy, you know, you need to get that buffed out. And you're like, no, that's who I am, man. I have a ding. I'm walking with a limp. That's scriptural. I'm walking with a limp. I've done some things that I've accumulated over the life of time, but if you open up who I am inside, you're going to see I'm someone who's been repaired by the Holy Spirit. I'm walking towards a legacy. That's what endears people to say, what is it about you? What is it that you're living for? I mean, you don't look like it should be, but you are living like it should be. What's happening is you're actually repaired. I like to call it this. Despite your cosmetic scars, all of us, despite your cosmetic scars, are you authentic? Are you genuine? Are you real? Are you trustworthy? Are you loyal? Are you long-suffering? Are you internally clean? Are you spiritually sound? And are you kingdom usable? I like to call it God's imperfectly perfect legacy. We are imperfect, but He uses us in His perfect plan. What a great invitation. What a great invitation. C.S. Lewis once wrote of something he discovered about himself. He called it his ugly me. Imagine a man who is well-respected by his peers, an intellectual giant of his generation, a lecturer, professor, author, speaker, Christian apologist, a man who is wealthy beyond his years. He had overcome personal grief, fought in a world war, had family dynamics that were bad between him and his father, and still, after it all, found his own ugliness. And whether you read The Weight of Glory, The Problem of Pain, Till We Have Faces, Mere Christianity, or The Chronicles of Narnia, you will discover a man who is writing about the journey of uncovering his own ugliness so he could be usable for God's glory. There's this beautiful, sublime phrase, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Daniel spoke about that in a great vision he saw when he said, I saw the Son of Man coming out of the clouds like the Ancient of Days, prepared to take His place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Daniel chapter 7. But what came with His kingdom? Repentance. You see, the beginning of all the preparation for the kingdom was, whether it be John or Jesus, change your mind. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus' very first words that you hear. change your mind. Deliverance from sin, I'm going to say this slow, not because I think you're slow. I want to make sure this gets across to you. Deliverance from sin is the great blessing of the Christian. Deliverance from sin is the great blessing of the Christian. Because the Christian is the man or the woman who knows that you are living in sin, but you're not living in sin. What do I mean by that, Joshua? Here you go. You're living in a world where sin is all around you, but you don't have to sin. I'm not saying you're not going to sin. I'm saying you don't have to sin. Because if you change your mind and repent and turn to the Lord and let Him repair you, you can walk in this life where you are pursuing Him and His holiness far more than you are pursuing the world and the things that are breaking you down. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we'll ever reach perfection in this earth. Because we know until He returns and we're gathered up with Him and in a glorified state, this is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. But just because you're living around sin, don't let that be an excuse that you have to live in sin. You don't. You can change your mind today and say, despite all of this, I'm going to live with Him. But why do we go to this? Because we still think this will give us our purpose. This will give us our prize. This will give us our place. This world will give us our legacy. And it won't. It can't. It's fading away. Daniel saw the Lord coming to take His place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over a kingdom that would never fade away or be eclipsed. This is the kingdom that you're invited to. You see, I wonder how many of us understand there's a real danger in this. Today, I am going to speak to you as we close this up. Because I'm sitting in this room, I don't mean this as a hyperbole, I mean this really, sincerely. I'm sitting in a room full of amazing men and women. Because if you're in this room right now, you also recognize, no matter what stage of your journey you're on right now, or your spiritual maturity, you recognize, I'm in here because it's not a coincidence. God wants to drop something in on my life today that's meant for me today and tomorrow and for the rest of my journey. That's amazing, but that's a miracle in of itself. You could be sitting at home in your pajamas getting out of a food coma. But you're in here today, not hearing some man speak. You're hearing the word of the Lord. And it's challenging all of us. Because here's what it comes down to. Most of us feel right now, if I asked you, let me get a show of hands. How many of you in this room feel like you are breaking down? How many of you feel broken down? Okay. I'm glad that some of us aren't. Because here's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to spend the time with you to prepare you. He wants to get you fixed up. He wants to give you a reward that is worthy of the time you will invest in Him. The problem is we walk around this world thinking that because we're in the car that is breaking down slowly, that it will today keep going and tomorrow it will keep going. And we think to ourselves that the day it stops working, we will have the strength and the courage to get it fixing again, and we won't. We won't. You think you will, but you won't. Oh, that's it. When that happens, I'll be ready. You won't ever have enough money to fix the car. You won't have enough time. And there will be about 50 other things that will be applying stress and strain on you besides fixing the car. And it'll just be a mountain. If you know you're in a vehicle right now, in your mind and your spirit, that is trapping you and is breaking you down, fix it today. Fix it today. Fix it today. Change your mind and run to Jesus and say, Lord, fix me. I'm breaking down or I am broken. Please, fix me. John the Baptist's message was spoken in a spiritually darker time than ours. Today, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Generations of the Bible being taught. Teachers, churches, and paraministries that have kept God alive in the world discussion. Israel had 400 years of silence, war, turmoil, oppression, and John knew that his message was so out of the box. You read it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. It was so out of the box that when he started preaching, Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up saying, are you Elijah? They knew enough of the word that this kind of guy talking like this after 400 years of silence, and they knew what the prophecy said, that could very well be Elijah. And if so, then the Lord is coming.
So they were out there investigating. And Elijah was like, and Elijah, John was like,
I'm not Elijah, but I am one like him, speaking to your age. Change your mind. The Lord's coming. Change your mind. People came, they heard, because they were well past spiritually expired. The reality is, we are living in a world today where we are well past spiritually expired. Can we agree on that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can. The kingdom's at hand, can we agree at that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we preparing the way of the Lord? Yeah. Do I know when he's coming? No. But are we preparing? Yes. So we need to change our mind. John's message came. It spoke, and it said, the Lord is on the way. Let me wrap that all up to this last statement. You are not lemmings. You didn't come off God's showroom, failed projects. But you got into this world, and you got beaten down by this world. And you got some thinking in your life of this world. And this world kept carving out more and more of you and trying to define you according to its standards. And God is saying, change your mind. I can fix you. I can repair you. And I can prepare you. And then next week we're going to talk about this. And then I can make you usable for the kingdom. Because this world is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about you and you and you and you. It's about us preparing the way for the Lord. Because there are a lot of people out there seeking and searching because they're broken. And God wants to get them too. He wants to fix them also. Got a great purpose. Got a great plan. Lawn care professional. Accountant. Pastor. Food service industry. Student. Nurse. Whatever your profession is. God can use that. God can use that. He puts you there. God can use you there. But it's not about you racking up cash and racking up credit from the world. Oh, he's the best. No. I am a guy who's dinged and nicked and everything else. But if you open up the heart of who I am, you're going to see a man or a woman repaired by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am more important than whatever I do as a function. I am out there preparing the way for the Lord in my function and everything else I do. You can only do that if you're repaired, though. Because then you're really afraid. And I mean that in a good way. You're afraid because you know that sinful stuff breaks me down. I don't want to be broken down anymore. I don't want flat tires. I don't want bad working parts. I don't want spills in the fridge. I want to be clean. Amen.